The scripture for today is Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of God.
Good morning. My name is Wen Chong, and I'm a pastor in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. In particular, I am the pastor of the youth ministry in our church. And as you would have noticed by now, that today is a special day for our youths, for it is our Youth Sunday. Earlier on, we had Yeomin to read for us today's scripture passage. And not only that, I've invited some of our youths to join us in my sermon today to commemorate this special occasion. To show you what I mean when I say I got them to join me for this special Youth Sunday, here are some of our youths telling you what is the best thing about being a youth.
Freedom of choice.
Maybe having a lot of freedom.
Like I had the freedom to do many stuff.
To do whatever I want to do.
Being able to do what I want most of the time.
I have many things like a phone.
So carefree, being young and not having to worry about too many things.
No work stress in like the office or things like that.
You have a lot of patience with you to explain to you everything, anything.
Being able to learn and grow to become a more independent person.
Sorry. Like, isn't I'm a youth out?
So everything is cheap.
It's very cheap.
The student price discount when you go and eat, when you want cinema.
So I still get allowance from my parents.
Friends. More friends.
I can do a lot of things without much consequences.
Being very energetic and lively.
For me, the best part about being a youth is that you have so many people to dote and care for you. Being young always has that effect. But the older you grow, the less cute you become, and people don't care about you. Just kidding. Today's sermon's title is Jesus, Who is He? This is a borrowed title from the Alpha Film series that our church has recently embarked on. In fact, the question and answer format in this video that you have watched is also inspired by Alpha. So, who is Jesus? The answer to this question is of eternal significance. How you answer this question also determines your eternal destiny. Who Jesus is to you now also has an immediate impact in your life. It can radically shift the course of your life or give you ultimate peace amidst troubled times. May this morning's message shed some light on who Jesus is and importantly, who he is in our lives. Allow me to pray before I begin to share God's word. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is revealed to us through Scripture. And we thank you for the word that is revealed to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. May your word speak to each one of us this morning as we ponder about the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we will be exploring from this short but very loaded verses in the letter of Colossians to discern who Jesus is. The letter of Colossians was written by Paul to a church that is situated in modern-day Turkey. One of the main struggles that the Christians in Colossae had was the identity of Jesus. There were false teachers that were teaching strange and profound philosophical ideas and confusing teachings about spirits and angels. And this made this pretty confusing of who Jesus is. So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20, Paul sets the record straight by quoting an early church hymn to settle once and for all who Jesus is. But before we hear from Paul or from me, let me get some of AMKPC's finest to share with you who Jesus is to them.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and He's a mighty fortress.
Savior and a friend.
A friend.
My bestest friend who loves me the most.
He's my God, He's my Father, and He's my best friend that I can go to when times are tough. When times are good as well, I can like tell Him anything, you know.
Someone that I can always go to whenever I feel down.
And He's also a role model I look up to and aspire to be like.
Someone I can look up to and a figure that I can live up to.
He forgives my sin.
I think Jesus is my captain.
My compass is like my direction in life.
The light of my life who shines the direction where I need to go.
He's basically God who came down to earth as a human being to save us.
Someone that I know that will always be with me.
Someone I can trust my whole life and surrender my life to.
He saves me in every aspect and every day of my life.
I kind of always depend on Him.
Oh, Jesus is someone that I cannot imagine life without.
It's so wonderful to hear from our young people who Jesus is to them, isn't it? Okay, let us now go back to Colossians and to see what Paul tells us about who Jesus is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. One of the possible issues why the Colossians might be confused about the rank of Jesus is likely because in chapter 2, in Colossians, we are told that there are people going around sharing visions and asking them to worship angels or lesser elemental spirits, like what Paul says. This caused a lot of confusion about Jesus' supremacy. Like, who is higher? Is it Jesus or is it the angels or these elemental spirits? On hindsight, as we read the text in the 21st century, it's easy to tell the difference. We all know that Jesus is far more superior. But it wasn't always that easy for them, which was one of the major reasons why Paul had to use the authority that was given to him to encourage the Colossians about Jesus' supremacy. Many commentators believe that Paul was quoting a well-known hymn here in Colossians 1:15-20 to be certain of who Jesus is, by stating that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. By saying this, he's not suggesting that Jesus was the first that was born from creation. That would imply that Jesus was created. But he's not. He's far more superior than that. Commentators also allude to the use of firstborn here, just as how the Bible in Psalm 89 verse 27, when God appointed David to be the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Well, we all know that King David was not the firstborn in his family, nor was he the first king of Israel. So it is safe to say that the term firstborn was used here to denote Jesus' supremacy over all. For David to be the first king, first of all kings, that is far more superior than any other king. But for Jesus, he is the highest of all creation. In fact, the verse continues to tell us that Jesus is the visible form of the invisible God. I find it very interesting that Paul describes God as invisible, but only through Christ we can see God. And this is true, isn't it? Many of us know God because we know Jesus. And for so many others, including the Colossians, when they were confused about who Jesus was, they too got lost in their understanding of who God was. So who you say Jesus matters. And in verse 15, we learn that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, which tells us of his supremacy, and that through Jesus, we can see the invisible God. So what else does the book of Colossians tell us about who Jesus is? And this is my favorite part of the passage in verse 16. For by him, all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. By him, through him, and for him were all things in heaven and earth made. Do you catch those short but very powerful words? From the words by him, Paul is trying to tell his listeners that Jesus is not just one of the gods or the angels that they might be confused with. He's saying that Jesus is the one who was there at the beginning, and it was by Jesus. The word by suggests authorship, or like how written by, or when you say composed by, like books and songs. This means Jesus created us. And not just that, it was through him all things were made. The word through suggests agency. That means not only did Jesus initiate creation, Jesus was the one through which all things were made. And why did Jesus initiate and create all things? We are told at the end of verse 16 that we were made for him. These short but succinct descriptors of Jesus give us our ultimate reason for our existence. We were made for him. Your sole purpose here on earth is found entirely in Jesus Christ. Many have tried to find their purpose by being successful, rich, famous. Some find their purpose in the things that they like to do that gives them pleasure. For example, their games, their videos, or even scoring well in a test. And many try it and find it in other relationships. Darlene Check, the worship leader of Hillsong, says that our purpose in life is far more important than property or possessions. Having more to live with is no substitute for having more to live for. Having more to live with is no substitute for having more to live for. At the end, those who try to find their purpose in anything else all meet a dead end, because they cannot find their purpose unless they find it in Jesus Christ. One of my favorite Christian heroes, St. Augustine, says this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord. Our hearts are restless till it rests in you. For by him, through him, and for him were all things made." It is important also to note that Paul intentionally described all creation to include the visible world, which is the physical and tangible realm, and the invisible world, which describes the spiritual realm of things. Remember, the Colossians were confused about Jesus. One of the false teachings that Paul was trying to refute was how that there were these lesser beings that might have created this physical world. So in order to root that out, Paul presents Jesus as the one that is preeminent over all of these lesser beings, by presenting Jesus as the preeminent one. The word eminent is usually used to describe someone of good reputation or someone who is prestigious. Not necessarily someone who is rich, but someone who stands out in his or her class. But the term preeminence is far more exclusive than the word is described. That is told, because this word that you use to describe someone means that it's totally nobody to compare with this person. There is none higher or more outstanding than this person who is preeminent. And in the case of Colossians, Paul is saying, Jesus is he. This means that we need not be doubtful about Jesus' rank. He is the preeminent one, stronger and far more superior than any force this world claims to have. Any ruler, any authority, even the invisible ones like angels and spirits, Jesus is the preeminent one. Not only is Jesus the firstborn of creation, verse 18 tells us that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. The Apostle Paul now zooms to the most important event in human history and alludes to Jesus dying and resurrection and resurrecting on the cross. But instead of telling us how tragic and sad it was for Jesus to die, Paul points to Jesus as the one who was the firstborn of all creation, and now the firstborn from the dead. If the first mention of Jesus being the firstborn refers to creation, this second use of firstborn can likely refer to the new creation that Jesus accomplished through his death and resurrection. This concept of new creation can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But basically, by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has reconciled us to himself. So when Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, he draws from this event to tell us that not only is Jesus so superior from the beginning at creation, he is preeminent, meaning none of his kind, but because of his death and resurrection, we can now be part of his new creation. God loves his creation so much that despite our countless disregard for his commands, our abandoning him, our falling in love with the created things rather than our Creator, the consequence of this disregard and abandonment is death. A death that we so deserve because of our wrongdoing. But God did not leave us to our demise. He could have. He could have just abandoned us, this failed project perhaps. In fact, that's what many people actually subscribe to with this kind of thinking. They may be able to say, yeah, there is a God, but even if he's there, even if he did create us, he has left us a long time ago. Well, look around. Does it look like God is at work? Nations that are at each other's throats, populating a population wiping disease, the millions of people that go hungry every night. Surely, even if there was a God, this God has left us already. But he hasn't. In verse 17, Paul tells us that in him, all things hold together. God created a good project. And by project, I mean the world. But it was those that he entrusted that did not do a good job tending to his project. In fact, we ruined it. We ruined his good creation when we started to use his creation for our own selfish reasons. But he did not leave us to fend for ourselves. Every single detail, and even those that happened in history, the world, good or bad, God is holding the world together sovereignly. Then some might say, nah, that's not very fair. Why doesn't God just come and solve world hunger or maybe cure all the disease or give us a leader that will lead us and never fail? He did. If we continue reading in verse 20, the text tells us this. Through him, all things are reconciled to himself, making peace by the blood of the cross, on his cross. While Jesus was on earth, he came and he fed the hungry. He came and cured incurable disease at his time. And he came to be a leader that would never fail. But above all, Jesus became God's solution to reconcile this broken world by allowing all of its brokenness to befall His own dear Son. The only way to save His creation is to send His beloved, the one in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and had Him die and resurrect so that a new creation can begin. A creation that is by Him, through Him, and for Him. So who is Jesus? Jesus is our Creator, God's exact representation, the firstborn of all creation, and the firstborn of this new creation. He is the supreme one and the preeminent one that no categories or persons can compare with. To summarize, Jesus is Lord. But what does that mean for us? This means that Jesus should be the ultimate purpose in our lives. It should radically shift the way we study, the way we interact with others, the way we view life, the way we are sons and daughters at home. Jesus purposed us to be His. And we are to bear witness of how Jesus is Lord in our lives. The people around us cannot, and I mean cannot, second guess whether or not we are Christian. We cannot give God half our life and tell Him that maybe on some days, God, I will wake up and go to church, but on other days, maybe I will sleep in because I had a long Saturday. Or maybe today I don't go to church, Monday I got an exam. Jesus purposed us to have a relationship with Him, and that relationship should impact all our other relationships that we have here on earth. Let us hear from some of our youths how do they feel about Jesus having a purpose in their lives.
Excited for what's to come.
Curious.
Purposeful and happy that my life has meaning.
I'm here for a reason. It's not just a cycle of birth and death.
He has my whole life planned out since the beginning of time.
There's a reason why I'm here with my people around me.
Through my life, I can use it to bless other people.
I feel very blessed. Like, it shows that, like, He cares and loves me.
Assured, knowing that everything is in His hands.
In whatever I do,
whatever stages that I am in,
I know ultimately that Jesus still paved the way for me.
He will prepare me to be His instrument in furthering His kingdom.
I have someone that I can follow.
He will determine my steps and my paths.
I wouldn't feel so lost.
Comforted in knowing that even though life is uncertain,
whatever I may be going through right now,
I know that nothing is wasted under His purpose for me.
It allows me to embrace the suffering that I go through in this life,
because I know that even if I make the wrong mistakes, God's purpose will still prevail.
If we try to find our purpose in recognition by trying to get people to subscribe to our YouTube channel or to follow us on Instagram, or even our achievements like medals, grades, or even ranks in our virtual games, we will almost definitely meet a dead end. You might become eminent in your lifetime, achieving a good grade that will get you into a good placing in your future endeavor. Or you might gain international reputation by performing your craft very well in your CCA. But you would have failed in fulfilling your one purpose that God made you for: Himself. Don't get me wrong, okay? I am not saying that it is bad to study, to play games, to create videos, or participate in things that help you achieve your dreams. But my question is this: is Jesus the goal in all these things that you do? Are you doing all these things at the expense of your relationship with God? Have you left God waiting while you play one more game, and then another, and then another? Maybe you might have started to want to do well in your studies for God, but the competitive spirit in you has long overwhelmed that desire. And it's not just about beating, it's now just about beating your classmates in your exam results or even proving your worth to your parents. Unless Jesus is our purpose, everything we do, even if it seems successful, falls short of what we were initially intended for. During my poly days, your young Pastor Wen Chong, Pastor Wen Chong then, though I was a Christian, didn't quite live like one. I tried though. I spoke lesser vulgarities than my friends, made sure that my girlfriend had to be Christian, and at 17, my interest was honestly not Christ. I remember I was rather obsessed with trying to earn as much money as I could, and I did. By 18, I was earning more money than my friends my age were having. I was rather eminent in my company for being an outstanding young salesperson, and that drove me. I couldn't care less about my studies, for I was actually quite certain that I didn't need to study with the amount of money that I was making. I was Christian for about 3 to 4 years by then, and God had helped me with some bad habits, and God even gave me a good voice to sing when I was at that age. And like some of you, I even joined Pierce on Thursday nights, a music band that gathers every Thursday, and sang. My body was at church, but my heart was either at my ambition of being rich and recognized, and the rest of my heart was probably with my girlfriend. It didn't take long for all these things to fail and disappoint. I had placed my purpose in accumulating and enjoying pleasures, and Jesus was somewhat like a standby. Yeah, he was there, but he was most definitely not my Lord. Instead of singing for God, I found myself in pubs singing karaoke. Instead of telling others about Jesus, I was busy convincing them to buy the products from my company. I knew Jesus and what he had done, but Jesus wasn't the reason and purpose of my life. That's why I gave him so little time and attention. I knew Jesus loved me, but the honest truth was, I did not love him as much as he deserved. My dear youths, love Jesus, for he loves you very, very much. He is Lord, so place him at where he rightfully deserves and belongs. Not just a 2-hour time slot on Sunday, but may he sit in the center of your everyday life, governing every decision, every action and intention that you make or have. It is my prayer, as well as those who love you, that Jesus be your greatest purpose that you will ever live for. Let us pray. Dear Lord, yes, that's who you are, Lord, the firstborn of all creation, as well as from the dead. You who are there at the beginning is also holding all things together. By you, through you, and for you were all things made. So, Lord, we ask for you to move in our hearts and make our life count. Make our life speak of Jesus. Cause us to place you where you rightfully belong. May we find our purpose in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by the cross brought us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.